Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. If you are listening to this show, you probably just listened, or hopefully listened, to the Eastern Conference NBA season preview that I did with my buddy Mike Gallagher from RotoWorld. That was about an hour and 15 minutes, I think, where we ran through every team in the Eastern Conference, their coaching changes, their Las Vegas over-under, their rotation for DFS, everything you need to get ready to bet on, to watch, to play DFS for the NBA in 2019-20, and now we are running it back with the Western Conference. Of course, Mike, you know, he knows more than anyone. He is grinding this so hard. We are presented by rotoexperts.com. If you like winning your fantasy football league, I suggest heading over to rotoexperts.com and getting 10% off of a year-long package. So if you subscribe right now, you get it for a whole nother year, and you can get that for $39.99, and you can get 10% off using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K. Of course, if you like the show, you want more episodes, you want to support the show, you can subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/TakeCast. And if you don't want to do any of that but still want to support the show, you can just leave a rating and review on iTunes, just leaving a 5-star review and a little comment. Very helpful, the least you could do, and I would really appreciate that. Now, let's get into the Western Conference. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast. I'm Davis Matic, joined again by my buddy, Michael Gallagher. We are running back our NBA preview show. If you're listening to this, you probably just listened to the Eastern Conference, or maybe you like better basketball, so you're starting with the Western Conference. If you're starting with the Western Conference, there is an equivalent show of this for the Eastern Conference. We are going through all the teams in the conference in an alphabetical order. We are giving our opinion on their Las Vegas over-under, and then Mike is giving you all of the personnel moves and the fantasy nuggets that you need to succeed. Mike, I actually don't even know this. Are you a fan of an NBA team?
I grew up as a Nets fan. So
so you're back in. You're ready to go now.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I went to a lot of Knicks games as well. Obviously, I loved basketball growing up. But actually, I didn't really watch a whole lot of NBA as a kid. I played a lot. And then, you know, I would watch Sundays when the Bulls were on NBC and all that stuff. I watched the playoffs. Yeah. But, yeah, just really I've just grown to love basketball more and more and more. It's just such a great sport. And like you mentioned, the Western Conference should be insane. Just a random question for you.
So, yeah, hit me.
Yeah, so you talked about doing Western Conference first, Eastern Conference second. So say you have a meal where it has like something that you really like to eat and then like the vegetables or whatever. Do you knock out the vegetables and save the best stuff for last, or do you eat just hammer out the good stuff and eat the stuff
no,
you
want? No, I'm going ham on the good stuff first. Like if this popped up in my feed, I would go Western Conference first because I knew I really wanted to listen to that. And then if I didn't have stuff to do later in the day, I would go back and listen to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I agree with the podcast choice listening, but when it comes to food, unless it like matters that if it's hot, like if it's a hot sandwich or something,
right?
Like I want to get it while it's hot, but if it's like not, if it's the same where, like say it's a dessert or something, I always leave the best for last. And on a good note.
There we go.
But anyways, all right, man. Let's talk some Western Conference.
Let's do it. We got the Dallas Mavericks. Have you looked at these totals?
I mean, I looked at them when they first came out, but I haven't really been paying attention.
Well, I was going to say, I think this is such an interesting total. I kind of wanted you to guess it.
I'd probably say 34 and a half.
So, okay, it's high, dude. It's 41 and a half. So this tells me they think Luka and Porzingis are just going to be ready to freaking go.
I don't think so. Porzingis is going to sit at least 13 games. You know, obviously the Western Conference, his minutes may be managed as well throughout the season. Luka was hurt a lot last year. Down the stretch, he had a lot of knee injuries. This team doesn't have a lot of depth. And you're talking about Kristaps Porzingis on top of the ACL thing. He was hurt a lot. I mean, really coming
in. He's just a dude who's been hurt a lot in general.
Yeah, like we mentioned with the Mitch Robinson thing in the Eastern Conference. Like, these long dudes, man, they put themselves at risk so much. And the first summer league, I was there. And I was just looking into the hallway, and every chance he could, he was just stretching out. Like, you don't see that, like, during games. Like, he's out there stretching. And ever since then, I've always been scared to draft him for fantasy. But, yeah, I just, again, like we talked about in other teams, I just don't buy him being on the floor enough for them to win 40 games. which is a big reason why. I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I think Dwight Powell is going to be one of my favorite fantasy picks later in drafts. I think Luka could be better. They also said they're going to – they'd be shocked if he doesn't shoot more than 72% from the line. We saw last year after the break, he shot 69% after the break. He had a 1-9 against the Spurs in mid-March, which killed one of my fantasy teams because it killed that category for me. But, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty solid pickup. Like, I think DeLon Wright's going to be really good. He's banged up now, has a hamstring injury, sounds minor. But, yeah, I just don't see how this team can get to 40 games, especially with all the tough competition they're going to play.
I mean, for them to do that, Justin Jackson has to be really good.
Pounds, by the way.
I mean, so what? So that means they want him to play more four, I guess?
He just said that he lost a lot of weight starting the season. So he's like, all right, I got to gain more weight this year because once the season training camp starts, I don't want to be kind of too thin. So, yeah, I still think he's going to be a straight three. They are going to probably play mix and match here. And they love Dorian Finney-Smith too. So Finney-Smith's pretty good as far as what they want him to be, you know, just kind of the low usage, defend guys, switch, hit open shots, and run out in transition. So he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's not asking for more touches all the time, which is like a huge thing when you're going to play with guys like Luka and Porzingis.
Definitely.
Yep. Yeah. I think for them to hit their over, it's just like Justin Jackson, Maxi Kleba, Seth Curry, Courtney, like these guys would have to be really, really good.
Yeah, they have to click right away. And for as much time as Porzingis missed, like that's a tall ask.
Yeah.
And apparently, just quickly, Jalen Brunson is apparently killing it in camp, for whatever that's worth. Also,
he was another one of those DFS guys last year who just ended up getting random minutes. He was a tough guy to pin down.
Yeah, and apparently Carlisle left the door open that Jalen Brunson could beat out DeLon Wright as a starter. But he also mentioned that Luka Doncic is going to run the offense. So I'm sure he's not quote unquote the point guard. But he's going to be a point guard, functionally.
Yeah. So I lean the under there, definitely. Yeah, just
that's probably one of my – I didn't know it was that high, man. Like,
yeah, it actually opened lower and has moved a lot.
Mark Cuban got that line-moving money or what?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It feels wild. Next team – man, making a decision on this line is going to be very tough for me as well. The Denver Nuggets, a total of 53. People on the internet are going to be mad. I like the under here. I know everyone loves Jokic, but the team that surrounds him, I am not certain how great they are. Well, they're all very good, but I'm not certain that they're 53 wins in the West good.
I take the over, man. You mentioned Jokic. I think Jamal Murray's going to have a breakthrough season. He apparently was one of the most impressive players at the Kobe training camp, for whatever that's worth. I like how he improved his shot later in the season last year. His defense obviously isn't great, but that's fine. They're going to outscore people, and I think they're going to do it a lot. Doesn't miss games. Jamal Murray played through a double hernia his rookie season and didn't miss any time. They have depth. We're going to see Gary Harris, who was hurt all the time last year. We're going to see him step up. Malik Beasley was tremendous last year. Will Barton, that was hurt again last year. And admittedly, their front office said that, like, he hurt his groin, right? And they said, like, yeah, he didn't rehab well. Like, he basically wasn't following the instructions. Like, apparently he was just like, oh, yeah, I'll be good. And, like, he didn't come through. So now he's healthy. A guy who's been healthy for most of his life, hence why he struggled with the rehab. I think he's really good. And then underrated pickup in Jeremy Grant, who is an option to start the three, they're saying, according to, I believe, Mike Malone.
Jeremy Grant is good. That was so big for them. He is good.
Huge pickup. Paul Millsap said he's going to be load managed. He's fine with that. And I think Grant next to Jokic is a four-man. That just seems like a really, really good fit. Grant is just so long. He's such a great weak side helper that I think he can take a step forward there. And we haven't even talked about Michael Porter Jr., who's been really impressive. So
that's what I think a huge thing with this team is going to be what's up with Michael Porter Jr. because if he's a really good wing, that does change the complexity of their team.
And he kind of snuck in that he didn't say he wanted to start, but he was saying like, oh hey, I can't wait to play with Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, and Jokic. So I was like, interesting you left out Barton or somebody else who would start the three. So, yeah, again, and like if they're going to rest guys, and Malone's been perhaps the most anti-load management coach in the NBA. He said that he was more open to it this time. But even still, like if they rest Jamal Murray, they have a very capable backup in Monte Morris, Malik Beasley for Gary Harris.
They are one of the deepest teams in the NBA.
Yeah, like they have such depth. And obviously, you need depth when you're playing in altitude. So
yeah.
They're going to have the best record at home last year. So, yeah, I think they're going to be legit. I think that, you know, if the Clippers are missing Paul George for a while, I could see him being Denver and Utah being one, two, or three. I think they're all going to have really good seasons.
Yeah. So where I come down with Denver is, I mean, obviously, I think Jokic is great. I think he's going to be awesome for DFS. One of the things I'm hoping to see with DFS is Jamal Murray just taking a little bit more command of the offense, you know, increasing that usage just a little bit, you know, becoming a little bit more efficient. But, you know, I do think that at the very top level, you know, I just don't know if they have the same, you know, upside as the Houston Rockets or as the Clippers, basically. And that's right. Kind of why I just think 53, that feels very high. But I see the argument both ways.
Yeah, I think they're going to be just more of a regular season team. I just think that's going to be like, a lot of teams that are just going to sit dudes out, especially think about how many times they were really one of the first teams that had dudes sit out. Like, if you remember, Doc Rivers would, like, say well in advance, or he would say after the fact, he said like, oh yeah, we knew like months ago we were sitting guys when we go to Denver. So I think that's going to play in their favor too. So like I said, I think they're gonna have the best home record, and if they, you know,
so that is a huge thing. They have a massive home court advantage because of the altitude.
If they win 30, I think they can go 32-10 at home, and you know,
yeah,
go 500 on the road.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah.
Are you just anti-Jokic or something? Or
No, I'm not anti-Jokic. I think that it's hard for me to think of a team's best offensive player being a big man, just because but that doesn't matter as much in the regular season. That really is more of a playoff thing, where your team is not built around a guy who's defensively sound, because Jokic is just an okay defender. I don't think he's horrible the way other people do. I think he's just okay. But also the fact that your best player, doesn't really space the floor, I just kind of have a hard time with that.
Yeah, I get that. But he has people around him that do. So I think that
right.
Like, again, this team's just very well put together. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think Jokic is going to have kind of an MVP caliber season. And if they get the one seed, that'll help, man.
Yeah, no, it really will.
Those NBA voters, man, they love the one seed, man.
Yeah. All right, man. This is maybe the most interesting team that we're going to talk about of all 32. The Golden State Warriors with a current total at the Westgate Sportsbook of 47.5. Most recent update we have on Klay Thompson is that he is not expected to start. You know, we're not going to get daily updates on him until probably the All-Star break. And Willie Cauley-Stein is not going to be able to start the season due to a foot injury. So here are some names of guys who are going to have to play minutes for Golden State this year: Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans, Alec Burks, Eric Pascal, Omari Spellman, Marquise Chris. These are all guys who have to play minutes. He's not going to get minutes at all, you think?
No, I don't think he makes the team.
You think they just play Spellman?
They like Spellman a lot. A guy who they had G-League. He was the youngest player in their G League system, or in G League ever. And they traded up to get him. Basically, the Pelicans like called them, say, hey, you want to get him or take him or get this pick off us, you know? But so I'll just go here. So I like the over. Perhaps one of my favorite stats.
I like the over too.
Yes. Everyone's like, oh yeah, like they were. I don't think people get how good Steph Curry and Draymond Green are. And I cite this on my podcast all the time. But with the last two seasons, with Steph and Dre on, without Klay and KD on the court, or the, you know, with them off, and you're talking about guys that aren't good, really, besides Iguodala, that's not nothing. But they were like +7 net rating last year. I think it was like +9 2 years ago. Like, they're a winning basketball team by a lot, and they just added D'Angelo Russell. So if you even say D'Angelo for Iguodala is a straight swap, which I think is, I guess, fair. Obviously, the offense helps more on one side, and the defense helps more for Iguodala. But yeah, I mean, that's fine. Kevon Looney's apparently going to have a big, big season. One of my favorite fantasy picks there as well. I think they're going to be good, man. Curry's going to get load managed. He had a really weird demeanor at media day. He almost sounded like depressed, either about playing a lot or playing a little. I don't know. I would obviously lean on the little side of that. But, yeah, they're going to be good, man. I think they're just going to eat up and kill the bad teams, and they'll probably hang around 500 against the good teams, which is fine. Now, that'll get you to close to 50 wins right there. So, yeah, I really like them. I want to see how D'Angelo Russell looks. Obviously, we mentioned in the last pod, he was a really, really pick-and-roll heavy guy, and Golden State does not do that. They are routinely in the bottom of the league for pick-and-roll possessions for how their offenses run. We've seen the Kevin Durant, quote-unquote, overpassing stuff get overblown all the time. D'Angelo Russell did not like to pass. He had one of the highest three-plus dribble shots, you know, dribbling three or more times than shooting. He was really high in that department last year when he was, I think, twice as much as KD, more than twice as much as Steph, and like seven times as much as Clay. So real, real weird fit there. They're going to try to play Jordan Poole as like a Clay light, trying to give him pin downs and coming off screen. So that'll be a fun thing to watch. And I'm kind of an Alec Burks guy. So I think he can actually do
I'm a long-term Alec Burks guy, but it's just, it's never rewarded me.
Yeah. Nah. You know, high free throw rate is a thing after near and dear to my heart. So, you know, Burks getting a new system with a lot more spread offense around him. I don't think he could be – I think he could be a capable, you know, secondary ball handler. They're going to stagger D'Angelo.
Well, they need it.
Yeah, they're going to stagger D'Angelo and Steph. So it'll be kind of a CP3 Harden situation when one of those guys are on the floor at all times. And that's fine. I mean, D'Angelo was really good last year, stayed healthy. So, yeah, I just think that losing KD is – I mean, obviously – before KD was there, they were the best team ever regular season. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why people I talk to are like, oh, yeah, they can't load manage Steph because they got to make the playoffs. Like, I disagree with that completely. I think they are going to load manage Steph. I'm actually not really targeting him in fantasy, although he's going to be insane. Like, when he's playing, if he gets 35 minutes, he's going to be ridiculous. I mentioned that split with Clay and KD off. 2 years ago, he scored 45 points per 36 without KD and Clay with Dre. And then last year, it was like 42 per 36. Like, he's going to just score so many points. Possible MVP consideration if he plays enough games. But, yeah, I think I disagree perhaps more than most people with just ruling the Warriors out, thinking they're not going to get a top five or six seed. I just don't see it.
I mean, they're too well coached. And, you know, if you think – if one of McKinney, Burks, GR3, Jordan Poole, if they just get like a surprisingly good season from any of those guys, that does, I think that changes the complexity of things. Like, I think that makes them a better team markedly so, because it just means they have more NBA talent players on their roster.
Yeah, Looney has to stay healthy, and Looney has to – Kirsten wants to play him 30 minutes. I don't think that's possible. He has asthma. So if he gets to 26 minutes – that's good. Again, I think he'll be productive in that time. He's going to be really efficient from the field. And Kerr said he had, quote-unquote, big plans for Kevon Looney, who I was sneaking, like, after 125 in every mock. And now that kind of can't happen anymore with Willie Cauley-Stein down. But, yeah, I just love what Kevon Looney can do. Again, we've seen Kerr torpedo guys like Jordan Bell and others just to get Kevon Looney on the floor. And even if he doesn't start when Stein comes back, Willie Cauley-Stein, I think he's still going to close out halves and be super valuable.
Yep. Okay. This is another team that's just wildly fascinating. The Western Conference, it just keeps coming. The Houston Rockets, 54.5. I'm team over with the Rockets. Of course, they now have Russell Westbrook instead of Chris Paul. They actually, though, I think this is an underrated move, they have their boy, Daniel House. He is now back. He's not playing in the G League. P.J. Tucker, Clint Capella, the front court. I really like this team. I think the Rockets are very good.
Yeah, I think they're going to definitely be in the mix for top two or three seed as well. I'm with you on the over. I cannot wait to see how Russell Westbrook affects not just how they play in the half court, but in transition. I mean, OKC last year in, year out, they are one of the fastest teams, both after made shots and both after defensive rebounds. They were fastest in time of possession on offense, or time per possession on offense. And they run off a rebound at 10 seconds flat. So that's just flying. Yeah, they're just going to play so fast because of Westbrook. I'm not worried about the whole, like, there's only one basketball narrative.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, 0%. Like the last year KD was healthy with Russ, they both had 30 usage rates and they both were really good. Especially, well, KD was extremely good when he won the MVP. But, yeah, there's enough to go around. We look at the other guys. I think PJ Tucker had the fourth lowest usage rate for a guy with his minutes. He's probably going to repeat and be the top five, and that's all time. Like he's going to be one of the most lowly used guys in NBA history for as many minutes as he gets. Clint Capella looked phenomenal last night in the preseason opener. Really ran down the floor, even dribbled a little bit off rebounds, which you don't usually see. Usually he's just rebounding balls out. I thought he looked really good. A guy who I was kind of down on because he would lose a little usage, and he's very efficient. So losing even three or four shots a game or two or three shots a game could hurt his fantasy value. But, yeah, I like him. Eric Gordon's going to guard a lot of ones. We've seen him kind of be good in spots on defense, especially when he's healthy. But, yeah, I like this team. Westbrook's stats probably won't be quite as good. He'll still probably get some triple-doubles. And they're going to play faster, too. That's one of their big things. I mentioned the transition. But even in half court, I think they're going to play a little faster. And, I mean, Harden makes shots. These guys just make shots. He's, you know, has really talented shooters around him.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference for DFS and for fantasy overall is just going to be Harden. Is just I think that the impact of Russ, I think they're both going to be worse, right? I think these guys are both just going to be worse than they were separately. Just a hair, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because Russell Westbrook's better than Chris Paul.
Yeah, Harden's coming off 36 points a game. So, I mean, obviously he's not going to duplicate that. But I still think he's got close to 30 points in the bag.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's just the way – that's just the – it's like the function of the team. It's built to function, or it's built to send all that usage to, you know, just those couple guys. Another.
And also, I'll just add really quickly. Paul George shot the ball considerably better with Westbrook on the floor last year, so I think that could help Harden's overall efficiency, and he's not going to have any as many of those clunkers that, you know, cost them games.
Right. Okay, another, it just, of the West, it's so crazy. Another fascinating team. We have the Los Angeles Clippers, 54.5. They are so much better than they were last year, but my instinct is to go under because of Paul George injuries and Kawhi load management. How do you feel about that?
Under, yeah. I'm terrified to take this over. And we mentioned the Nuggets, how deep they are. This team is not deep. They were running Terrence Mann as their backup point guard in practice yesterday, which goes to show you how thin they are. They played Lou Will at the two. But, yeah, they want to go Doc Rivers wants to play Harkless as a starter, it sounds like, to really make things more switchable 2 through 4. So that's something to watch for both season-long and DFS early in the season. But, yeah, I mean, Paul George, he's going to get load managed. We know this. Like, he's supposed to miss all of October. The Athletic's saying it's probably going to be closer to Thanksgiving. That's a lot of the season right there. And as good as Kawhi is, and Kawhi didn't practice in full, by the way, which is odd. Like the fact that he's not even going through full practices right now definitely strikes me as a full-on red alert load management. They're saying they're not going to do it, but, I mean, it's so obvious they're going to do it. I mean, I just don't buy that. But, yeah, again, just no depth. I think JaMychal Green could have a good season. Rodney Magruder really isn't that good. I think Landry Shamet's going to have a pretty good season. They're going to have him handle the ball more, possibly close out games, and possibly even start. Some talk of him starting over Patrick Beverley, which would be an interesting move there. But, yeah, like you said, this team just has no depth, and they're going to need it for – I think they're going to make the playoffs, to be clear there. But, yeah, it's going to be tough if they can't get, you know, 60 games out of Paul George and can't get 70 games out of Kawhi Leonard. And I don't think they're going to get that.
Yeah, it just seems odd, right? It just seems like this total is really and just in general, this goes for NFL, baseball, it doesn't matter. If you just bet unders, that all of these lines are set to try and get people to bet the overs. So if you have reason to think about unders, that is just the better bet in general. So I think that there could be a couple interesting guys here if the load management happens. I think JaMychal Green could have like some great DFS games and games where George and Kawhi are both sitting, because I just think he's really good.
I love Jamichael Green. I was quick on the Jamichael Green bandwagon. Again, real not as bad as you think on offense. He's really good on defense. His three-point shot has improved drastically. You know, he's going to play close, maybe play some five. I think he fits really well with Harrell, and I think that's really the point I mentioned earlier, that why they're going to start Harkless. I think they really like much of Michael Green working with Harrell to lock down the interior side defensively and really offensively too. So, yeah, I think he's going to be real sneaky, especially while George is out. They may go situational here with when they start Green and when they start Harkless. So, and they'll both get big minutes. They'll probably split them down the middle, possibly get some Harkless at the three, and then go from there. But, yeah, I love Jamichael Green. And I think Harrell's going to – I think fantasy-wise, I'm not into Montrezl Harrell, but I think he's going to be productive. He apparently worked on his three-point shooting, which I don't know if I buy that. Didn't really make many 18-footers last year. So that's a tall ask to go out to 23 feet or so to bang those in there. But, yeah, Lou Williams, weird seeing Lou Williams being the number three when they close, when this team's healthy. Like, this guy is a 30 usage rate. I think he was like 44 usage rate in the last 3 minutes of clutch time. So, yeah, just totally different looking team, which is the same for the other guys at Staples Center, which we'll get to.
Yeah. So there we go. That is the Los Angeles Clippers. We can transition over the natural transition, moving over to the Los Angeles Lakers. They have the lower total of the two teams, the 50 total. LeBron James, of course, Anthony Davis, of course, and then what do we make? What do we make of the rest of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Oof. So
it's a
Kyle
tough
Kuzma going
scene.
Down is tough. I'm not a big Kuzma guy, but
they really needed him.
Yeah, they just have no depth in the second unit right now, especially offensively. So they're going to have to get more to JaVale McGee. I think Dwight Howard, who apparently has looked great in training camp. LeBron talked up really three people, McGee, Howard, and Avery Bradley, which I'll get to. But I think McGee, who was really good last year, I mean, you could argue it was his best he's ever played. So he's going to have to fill minutes. They're going to have to play AD almost, I'd say, a straight four. Obviously, most of you guys listening have heard the whole story how he doesn't want to play the five, which he may have to do in certain times. So especially when Kuzma comes back, but that will be less likely with Kuzma out. And I'll just add, Kuzma is doing on-court stuff. He's shooting. He's kind of like shooting jumpers, but he's kind of only landing on one foot to take a little bit of pressure off the stress fracture foot. But he's walking around, no limp, like he doesn't have a boot or anything. So it sounds like it's pretty minor, but we know these stress fracture things or stress reaction things could take some time. But anyways, so yeah, keep an eye on Avery Bradley. I think Danny Green's going to have a big impact on this team. Mike Trudell, who's one of the best reporters out there, says that Green could get 30 minutes, which would be a career high for him. And they need him. I mean, this team has very little depth, a reliable depth. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has issues. Troy Daniels can't guard anybody. Jared Dudley's a four, and he's basically just almost an extension of the coaching staff. It sounds like he's like taking Kyle Kuzma under his wing, he was saying. And then the point guard thing, like Rajon Rondo got some minutes with the ones. We saw Avery Bradley get minutes with the ones. It sounds like he's the favorite to start. And then Alex Caruso, who will get minutes, who was great last year. I believe he scored 18 points per game in his final six. Another one of those DFS guys that we hammered home to finish down the home stretch. But, yeah, a whole lot going on. Obviously, AD in the contract year, you would think he may be more inclined to get load managed before he gets the big contract, although he's not quite in the cut from the same cloth as like guys like DeMarcus Cousins, who lost a lot of money. AD is going to get maxed regardless, you know, much like KD. So he may not be as inclined. But LeBron, another guy who probably is going to get load management too. So, yeah, load management, like you said, unders, especially in big markets, right? It's a little bit you're a little bit more
yeah. I mean, like Knicks unders, Lakers unders, yeah. These things, yeah. Like these are that really is pretty big.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to watch them too, especially with a new coach Frank Vogel, who doesn't really have this is the most unique team he's ever had.
This team is going to be brutal for DFS because I don't think it's going to be clear cut what happens with like injury stuff. You know, like when if someone's not playing, if someone is load managed, whatever, like I think things are just going to change a lot with this team, and the center rotation is going to be weird. The power forward rotation is going to be weird. what are you thinking in terms of who averages more fantasy points per game, Anthony Davis or LeBron James?
I think AD. I think I'm buying the whole, like, LeBron is willing to let AD kind of carry the mantle and being the number one option. We know LeBron's – he's always said, like, I'm a passer. He's really said all the right things to make me think that AD is going to have monster numbers. And I would be more inclined to draft AD aggressively in fantasy. But, one, I like Cat way too much. And, two, we know how AD to the locker room is trending on Twitter like all the time.
With the Lakers medical staff, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have the words locker room – listed in the Roto World blurbs like 87 times or something like that. It's a ridiculous number. Yeah, especially in a contract year, like you feel like he's going to be super careful with anything that goes on. But yeah, he's going to have massive, massive, massive numbers. It's just the per game part freaks me out. Again, like we've been saying, not so much on this podcast, but I think the whole Kawhi saying that he needed load management to get to where he is to win a title is going to really carry some weight to these guys who are, you know, established guys and headed for the playoffs and really want to ring and realize what a long haul it is in the playoffs. I mean, it's not easy to win 16 games against really, really good competition. So, I'm probably one of my biggest brand things for my, if you don't listen to my podcast, I'm pretty much avoiding anybody like over the age of 29. And like,
oh, I mean, that's just that it should just be something that everyone does. That's just good advice for life.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah. So,
no, I'm like the old rich white dude, man. I don't touch anything over 28 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not on board with. I'm on board with that in all fantasy based, like, sure. baseball, basketball. It doesn't matter. Just always go with the young guys. There's more upside there. Another team, another fascinating team. I like the over here a lot, Mike. The Grizzlies, 27.5. I know they're super young, so young teams can just get boat raced a lot. But, I mean, Ja Morant, I love him. Tyus Jones, I think, is a really good backup point guard. Jay Crowder is on this team. I think he's really good. Jaren Jackson Jr., I love him. Kyle Anderson, another guy I love. Brandon Clark, another guy I love. And Jonas Valanciunas is a very good offensive center. Talk me out of the over here.
The only thing I'm going to disagree with you on is the Jay Crowder part, because he's on an expiring deal and Memphis made it no secret that they're going to try to tank it up. Not tank it, but they're playing
the kids.
They're playing as many young guys as they can. So I think Jay Crowder is probably about an 85% chance to get traded before the deadline, maybe even 100. But yeah, he's fully expected to start an opening night. A little sad that DeAnthony Melton got hurt. I really, really, really wanted to see him in this new role with Memphis, but he has a back injury. He's going to miss all of preseason and most of probably the first 2-3 weeks of the regular season. But yeah, Ja Morant finally did 5-on-5 today. Which was forever for a knee scope for him, right around when he got drafted. He had the knee scope, didn't play in summer league. So it took a really long time, but he says he felt great. So he's going to have a massive, massive stat output. He has quote unquote a long leash to do whatever he wants. I thought Tyus Jones may push him a little bit, but sounds like they're just going to hand it to Ja Morant. So if he is as good as he looked, especially late in the year with the triple-double in the NCAA tournament, this team's going to play a lot of close games. Jaren Jackson Jr. has since grown 2 inches in the last year, he said yesterday. So he's like 6'11 without shoes. He's just a huge human being. Can play some five. We'll see Brandon Clark, who was awesome last year. He was the Vegas MVP. He played a lot of five, too, so we'll see a lot of Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark, a lot of Valanciunas and Brandon Clark. Kyle Anderson also finally went to practice today, it sounds like. He's good to go for the season. Josh Jackson's in the freaking G League. Go figure that out for a 2017 No. 4 pick. Yeah, it's just a solid, solid roster, and up until this season, they had no direction. You know, they had the whole grit and grind. They were all super slow. All these old dudes, and they've just injected a lot of youth on this roster. We'll see what Grayson Allen could do. We saw he had that killer regular season finale blow-up spot, so I'll see how he does. Dylan Brooks is back, obviously not too sexy there. You would think Iguodala probably gets cut because they want to save that roster spot for somebody. So, yeah, I tend to be a little shy on those 20s
on the tank teams.
Yeah, because they're not gunning for playoffs, but Their talent, like if you told me they were going to keep their roster the way it was, I'd probably take the over. But another one I'd probably try to avoid. But if I had to bet it, I'd probably bet the over. This team's gonna, and they're going to be a lot of fun, man. They're going to actually play a lot faster. Their new coach, Taylor Jenkins, has really talked up some kind of cool stylistic things to go through this offense. And Jaren Jackson Jr. could take a really big step forward. He's apparently worked a lot in his ball handling and will handle the rock a little bit more, which is going to take a little bit of pressure off of John Morant too. So, yeah, I'm really – a team that I hated to watch year in and year out.
Right.
I'm really pumped to watch them this year.
Yeah, I think they're just going to be so much more enjoyable to watch now. There's going to be reasons to tune into those games basically for the first time. And I'm all for it. I'm all for the youth movement, especially if teams are not going to be winning championships. Another team that is starting to transition that's going to look different. Well, I hope that they play a little bit different, but it is going to be the Minnesota Timberwolves 35.5. Man, Andrew Wiggins, he really is an anchor to this team.
He's been bad. Apparently, he had a great summer, which they didn't really talk about before. I think Gerson Rojas, who they got from the Rockets, who's now their president of basketball operations, he's really said some the right things. He said, give him a fresh start. I think that they now know that he is not a guy that should be a number two. They're going to dial back his shots. It sounds like they've really focused on obviously Rosas coming from the Daryl Morey tree really is going to really try to focus in on him getting rid of those contested 18-footers. That was really, really clear point that both Rosas and Ryan Saunders had kind of hammered home in their big press conference yesterday. It was about, I want to say, an hour. So that's something to watch. I think Wiggins will be better. For fantasy, you obviously can't touch him, but the most important team, why I think I may even take the over on this one, I think Karl Anthony Towns is going to wreck the NBA statistically.
He is a freaking goat.
Yeah, like they're going to put him more in passing situations. They said they're going to try to get him more in like a half-court Jokic role where he could see the floor more, hand out more assists. He had 4 assists per game last year or down the stretch or whatever it was, so he's really good there. He mentioned in his press conference yesterday that like he was a guard growing up, and he likes to pass. He's not much of a scorer that he's kind of been forced to be. They said they want him bringing the ball up. Obviously, Jeff Teague isn't really a very busy on-ball guy, especially when he was good. Jeff Teague was a terrific catch-and-shoot guy, so that makes sense just to give Kat the rock. One of my bold predictions is Kat going for 30, 15, and 5. They're playing closer to the basket on defense. He said he wants to focus more on rebounding. Said that having Robert Covington will kind of allow him not to defend as many shots. He says he won't be as high. He said he was number one in shots defended per game last year. He said that's going to come down. So the stats are going to be ridiculous. But really what it comes down to him is he's the number one pick for me, by the way, in season long. He's so durable.
Interesting.
Man. Yeah. Well, he's the reason so durable, man. Like he almost – most people probably would have died in that car crash that he was in. That kept him out, had the minor leg injury as well, but he's just so durable. Obviously the 82 is running nonstop up until the car accident thing, but I expect he's going to be really good. Jared Culver is a rookie to watch. I don't want to say a dark horse for rookie of the year, but maybe first team all rookie. Lack of ball handling here. We know Jeff Teague has an injury history. Shabazz Napier is definitely more of a catch and shoot kind of a guy. But they're apparently fully prepared to let him handle the rock. I've seen both Covington, Kat, obviously Rosas, and Saunders all talk this dude up, that he's ready for a role to run the offense and do things as a rookie. So I think Culver's going to be just very low-key productive. They really talked up Jordan Bell, Karl Anthony Towns specifically, said he can guard 1 through 5. So I'm a Jordan Bell truther through and through, perhaps because he's very defensive stats friendly for fantasy. But this team's probably better than you give him credit for. Just dial back those Wiggins shots. Maybe he's defend a little bit better.
Well, that's why they're so brutal for DFS though, is that Wiggins takes a lot of stuff that could be going to Covington, that could be going to Okoji, that could be going to Teague. So when Wiggins doesn't play, this team is actually awesome for DFS. Yeah,
they like Jake Lehman too. He couldn't even start. A lot of talk of Robert Covington at the four, but every inkling that I've heard, I haven't had it like spelled out that he's going to get load management, but it sounds like he's going to. Like, he's still not ready to go. He's going to, quote-unquote, ease through camp. And he had a knee scope in April, and he's still not right in October. Like, that makes me scratch my head a little bit. So just quickly, for season-long, I'm probably not touching Rocco as good as he is. But that would probably be what would derail them, to be honest. Like, they need Robert Covington to be the man on defense. And if he's missing games – there was some concern, it got debunked, but of him having like a degenerative knee thing. So yeah, this guy's had multiple knee injuries. So if he stays on the court and Towns does Towns things, I think this team could be, you know, maybe the 8 seed. I think that would be a little bit of a hot take, but I definitely could see them being in the running until, you know, played last week of the season.
Yeah. All right, another great team. I like the over here, I got to admit. And this is definitely the fishiest over I'm going to advocate for. The New Orleans Pelicans, they got Drew Holiday. They have Lonzo. They got Brandon Ingram. They got Zion. They got Derek Favors. J.J. Redick. I mean, this is a good team. Tell me why this team can't make the playoffs.
What's the over-under?
38.5.
All day. That's probably my top three or four favorite. I have them in the playoffs. This team is so well put together for how they want to do. You talk about, like, identity and stuff. Like, they have this team built the exact way they want to do it. Just length all over the place. Lonzo was really good defensively. I think he and Drew Holiday are going to lock down a lot of people. We saw what Drew did to Dame 2 years ago. Like, Lonzo could lock people down. Brandon Ingram obviously has some issues, both on the court and off. But I think he's a great fit for this team. And then Zion's a freak, man. Like, Zion is one of the most gifted players, obviously. I don't even talk about that. And there's even talk of him playing some three. But and I think Derek Favors is underrated if he stays on the court. But my favorite stat with him is he was, like, 18 and 13 with, like, 2.5 blocks and 2 steals per 36 as a center without Gobert on the floor. So super-duper productive. And really, one of my favorite quotes of the whole offseason is from Executive Vice President David Griffin. He said their style of play is going to be to, quote, create and terminate plays. So massive amounts of transition scoring. They are my heavy favorite to lead the league in pace. Drew Holiday is probably one of my favorite picks in the first round if you don't get the pick in the top 7. He's kind of talking up the team is talking about MVP case for him. So, yeah, just a whole lot to like from this team. I cannot wait to watch them. Obviously, we got shortchanged at Zion with only the 9 minutes in the preseason. I'm sorry, Summer League. Yeah, I just can't wait to watch this team. And, like, I would, if this was, like, 45, I still might take it over.
Yeah, and, I mean, are they going to be a headache for fantasy? I kind of feel like Drew and Lonzo are going to be tough to figure out. And then I don't have a sense of how to project Zion right away.
Well, Zion's going to be valuable because of his defensive stats. He had historically good defensive stats, and he did this in a slow college pace. And they're going to play so, so much faster. I think I did a little statistic on it, and they're going to run like 40% faster on the plays, and they're going to have more plays with obviously a 48-minute game versus the college game. So he's going to get like a massive increase in opportunity to produce statistics. It'll be a drop-off going from the college to NBA, obviously, but my point is, I think the increase in possessions will more than offset the decrease in productivity going from the NCAA to college. So I love Zion. I would take him in the second round of redrafts just because the defensive stats are going to be so, so good. This team is going to run around like crazy, a lot of switching, a lot of trapping, a lot of steals and just running down the floor. They're practicing full court lobs with Lonzo and Zion. Just a fun team to watch. And yeah, I just cannot wait to watch this team. I'll add, too, that Nikhil Alexander-Walker was one of the best rookies in Vegas. He has basically said that, like, I want minutes, and he could get them. Like, I could see him beating out Etuan Moore. I could see him pushing Josh Hart, who's cleared, by the way. And then you mentioned J.J. Redick. Like, this guy just makes clutch shots.
Hey, just makes shots.
Yeah, man. Like, this team, and he doesn't need to defend. Like, they have – if they put him out there with Drew, Lonzo, Zion, and Derek Favors, like, he doesn't need to defend anybody, you know? So, and Ingram can play the four, I think, for as long as he is. This team's just, it's just so nice. I'm such a huge fan.
Yeah, I am on board. I'm on board with all that. I think they're going to be, yeah, I just think they're also going to be crazy fun to watch, basically. Like, I just think this is going to be a team that makes the NBA more enjoyable, a team that is not going to bring
me any. Let me add one more thing really quick.
Oh, go for it, bro. Go for it.
So Lonzo, before he got hurt, the last 12 games, he went 13-6-7 on the stat sheet. That was coincidentally without LeBron, but Lonzo's, I think Lonzo's going to be productive, man. My biggest concern with him is injuries. But, yeah, don't sleep on Lonzo, especially if you're in a points league.
Yeah, there we go. Don't sleep on Lonzo. A team that's not going to bring me any joy, finally. They used to bring me joy. The Oklahoma City Thunder, one of my least favorite players of all time, Chris Paul, is now on the team. Everyone's gone. Westbrook is gone. Harden's gone. Durant's gone. They've been replaced by Steven Adams, Danilo Gallinari, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And it's not that I don't think Shai can't be a good NBA player. It's just this team is going to be depressing, I think. And their total is 31.5. I like the under.
I don't know. This is one of those where I don't know if I want to bet. Just because
I guess it depends on if they trade Paul, right?
Right. He's going to be a tough sell. You know, it's not going to be easy to trade that contract as old as he is. We saw those hamstrings flare up multiple times last year. And just quickly on Chris Paul, one of the weirdest things I looked up my whole summer was after the break, he only had 5% of his shots come at the rim, which is a ridiculously low number, about 10% difference from like the other guys who are kind of in that role. So he was a straight perimeter guy looking to distribute. So that was just weird. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. It's just so tough to bet. Like, Chris Paul has been one of my favorite players in this decade. So I'll see what he does there. But, just quickly on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think he's going to have a monster season. One of my favorite picks for both season long. I think he's going to be good for DFS. But when he didn't have Lou Williams on the floor last year, he was like, want to say 18 points per game on banging efficiency, banging meaning good, two steals per 36, like 5 or 6 assists, just super productive. And he gets talked up. Like, the Clippers did not want to trade Shai at all, but they kind of had to do it to get the Kawhi thing to go through because it was kind of a all or nothing kind of a situation. But Shai could handle the ball. And I mentioned earlier with Houston, like, OKC wants to play fast in transition, so obviously losing Westbrook is kind of the poster child for doing that. Shai does too. Shai was one of the best transition scorers after the break last year, both in making transition buckets and getting them, because he was just running out there and just playing tough defense and pushing the ball up and beating guys down the floor. So going to be super efficient both in transition and in half court. This guy's shot quality is tremendous. I think he shot 8% better after the break at the rim. Just got better really everywhere as an offensive weapon. So I'm really, really high on him. Chris Paul, I just can't draft like for fantasy just because I mentioned he's too old for me. But we'll see. Robertson's back. That could probably help their win total if everybody's healthy. So, like, if you told me this roster was going to be the same in, like, March, I would hammer that over. But I just don't know if I feel that way. We know Sam Presti is a very much no half measures kind of a guy, you know, like he has a plan. He's going to stick to it. He wants draft picks. So I think if he gets the right deal, he will definitely unload the whole roster being Gallinari, Steven Adams, maybe tough to move. So they could eventually be starting Schroeder, Shai, maybe Robertson. And then probably like Darius Bazley, like pay him at the 4 and Nerwin's the well on a cheap deal. So, yeah, it's tough knowing Presti for how he's kind of handles his business.
Yeah, that is. But it's not going to be very fun to watch, I don't think. I think it's going to be pretty uninspiring. Also, another team that I expect to be uninspiring, the Phoenix Suns. How crazy is this? The Phoenix Suns and the Thunder's line is 2 wins apart. The Suns are 29.5. They brought in Ricky Rubio. They brought in Dario Saric. I don't know. Ricky Rubio is a winning basketball player. I do know that.
Yeah, I think the Rubio pickup was good. Let me just say under on this one. Devin Booker said that he's willing to, ready to learn more from Rubio on how to create. He said he's excited to play off the ball. Back in March, when he was really humming, when he was dropping those 50-pointer kind of games, he was one of the most highly used for time of possession with the basketball. Pretty much, I think it was like fourth or fifth in the whole league, over guys like Kyrie, over guys like De'Aaron Fox, for just how much he had the ball in his hands. And now he'll play off ball a little bit, so he won't see as many double teams. Maybe be more efficient, maybe stay healthy. He has so many possessions, and he's just so active and takes so much contact. His free throw rate was really high before he got hurt last year to end the season. So, yeah, Booker's going to have some big, big numbers. I think 30 points per game is definitely not a too hot of a take. I think he's going to threaten the league in scoring, especially with Harden having to deal with Westbrook now. But just overall, I just don't get the plan. We mentioned Memphis having a plan. Like, they drafted so many point guards, man. Like, they drafted Okobo, who they thought highly of, obviously a different front office now. But, like, they drafted Tyre Jerome. They have an undrafted free agent now named Jalen Lecque, who looked pretty good in Vegas. I don't know why they traded for a 25-year-old Cameron Johnson undrafted with their first pick. Like, imagine being the second-worst team in the NBA or tied for second in the NBA, and the first player you pick in the draft is a dude who is older than Devin Booker.
Like, yeah, that's insane. That's really wild. No sense.
Yeah, like, why? I just don't get it. Like, I get that they try to shed some money. They jumped TJ Warren for, like, negative stuff, all just to get Kelly Oubre locked up. So it was just a very weird plan. And when you have a bad plan, I'm usually going to bet you're under. And this team's going to be bad. I just don't see how. I like Kelly Oubre, by the way. I think Mikal Bridges is going to be a really good player, a really good on-ball defender. But after that, I just don't know where to go here. DeAndre Ayton should be solid. I think that him and Rubio may be better. We never really seen Ayton have a pick-and-roll point guard, obviously. So I think that could kind of unlock a little bit of his offensive upside to possibly not be the butt of so many jokes with Luka and Trey and all these other guys looking so good. But yeah, I think they'll be fun. Obviously, their defense is going to be a disaster, so it'll be a DFS target fest. But, yeah, this team is not going to be good.
Yeah, no. But not good teams can be good for fantasy, though, of course, because you can get, you know, you get the Dario games, you get the random Kaminsky starts. It's just that is a fun part about bad teams. Moving on now to the Portland Trail Blazers. 46.5 just kind of feels like an average total for them. I actually think that this year's team is better than last year's team. What do you think about that?
Well, Nurk was really hot before he got hurt. So I think that is part of it. But yeah, I think getting Nurk, when they get Nurk back, I think that that's fair to say. But the whole Hassan Whiteside, man, is such a crazy thing. Like, this guy was, they could not get him out of Miami faster than they did. We saw him get straight up benched for getting a max contract, which is something you almost never see. But I like what I'm hearing out of Whiteside, by the way. He expects to have more assists. He said he's handing out like 6-7 assists per workout with Damon's, with CJ. You may have seen him on social media go, "We got shooters!" When he got shipped. So he's excited to play with those guys. I think Whiteside's going to have a really big season statistically. He himself says he's going to play 30 minutes a game. I'm buying it, man. We've seen Terry Stotts really turn some guys around. Nurkic, I guess, being one of them, who was very inconsistent at times. But Nurk was really kind of in a groove before he went down. Zach Collins is probably the favorite for most improved player. Really good backup five. He will probably back up Whiteside kind of in a stagger mode. He had a very, very, very high block rate when he was used as a center. He improved his three-point shooting. He's in better shape. Did have an ankle tweak that derailed him a little bit, but he's good to go now. So Zach Collins is a guy you for sure want to draft. I'd probably say like 7th, 8th, or 9th round, depending on how sharp your league is. And then obviously Damon CJ. Like, these guys don't miss games. They play just as well. They're not really aging at all. Their style of play obviously doesn't really get hurt. We saw Terry Stotts say he wants to pretty much keep one of them on the floor at all times as usual, which they kind of got away from at times over the last two seasons. And then another buzz guy was Anfernee Simons. He went berserk.
Dude, literally, people cannot stop talking about Anfernee Simons.
Yeah, he went crazy. I think he had 37 in the regular season finale. He had a 35-pointer in Vegas. So he looks really good. Neil O'Shea, the president, said that he's the most talented player he's drafted in his 15 years of being an NBA front office guy. So that's some major high praise. Mauri Hezonja has apparently looked pretty good in workouts, according to one of their beat writers. He could play the four, definitely kind of some second unit ball handling. Dame talked up Kent Bazemore. I thought that was a really good pickup for them. We know Rodney Hood could kind of get his own shot. We saw him have some really heroic moments in the playoffs last year. Good team, man. You know, they're not stud. They're not like the super high-end guys, but unlike the Clippers and the Lakers, like, they're going to play games. Like, they're going to be a regular season team. So I like the over on that one.
Yeah, I'm on board. I think, yeah, I like this Portland team, especially if Hezonja, you know, becomes whatever anyone thought he was. If Anfernee Simons takes a step, if they're able to play Lillard, McCollum, and Simons together to close games sometimes, I think those are all interesting things that could happen. But, of course, you know, Simons being good would actually kind of throw a wrench in their stuff for DFS.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, I think they played CJ next to Dame and Seth Curry, who's even smaller than Simons. They ran that lineup a lot, and they had success with it too. So, you know, in the right matchup, you obviously can't do it when you're going against, like, LeBron to three or something like that. But I think that lineup could be useful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Okay, moving on to this is, like, a lot of people in basketball's, like, pet team. Like, they love to say how fun this team is to watch. The Sacramento Kings, 38.5 wins. This is not a great bet, but I would probably take the over. I like this team.
I have an under. I thought they exceeded expectations last year. It's close. It's one of those where I wouldn't feel great about it, but it's just so tough how this team's put together. They're almost like too deep. I hate that Harry Giles is now sidelined with another knee injury, which is obviously super scary. But the positive is they picked up Rashawn Holmes, who I love Rashawn Holmes, guy who can shoot the three. But anyways, Marvin Bagley, we'll see if he can stay on the floor, but he's supposed to score a lot. I'll add that De'Aaron Fox kind of lost his mojo on offense when Bagley was kind of humming. So it's part of the reason why I'm not too high on Fox in fantasy, but I still like him, just to throw it out there, like fourth.
No, he really did, though. He got significantly worse towards the end of the year.
Yeah, like, and he just lives off transition scoring. Like, if he's not scoring in transition, it's going to be bad news Bears, but or bad news Fox, I guess. Well, Luke Walton does want to run. Apparently, like, every video they're posting and every video that, like, reporters are showing are, like, them doing, like, speed drills and, like, three-man weaves in transition. Like, they want to play fast. We saw, obviously, Luke Walton really try to instill that offense in the Lakers. So, it'd be pretty good. But they've got a lot of depth. Bogdan Bogdanovic wants to play around 28 minutes, he said. Harrison Barnes, do they play him with the three? Do they play him at the four? Do they play Bagley at the five? Like, there's so many questions with this team. Is Corey Joseph going to hold off Yogi Ferrell? Corey Joseph got overpaid. Is Buddy Hield going to stay as durable as he's been? He's like 82 games night in, night out. Had that ridiculous, what was it, January. He shot like 54% or something from three. Was making like four threes a night and on that hot stretch. Did cool off. But Hield is really good. Like, he's one of the probably top three or four guys in shooting the three ball. So we'll see how he fits. But I just don't see it. There's not, like, this team's just solid. And in the West, you know, a solid team, I don't think gets
to 30. Yeah, I guess solid probably is not good enough.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough. Like, obviously, they've got a lot of really good teams besides the Suns in their division. So, but then again, maybe they get the plus side of the load management with, like, the Lakers. Maybe they take, like, oh, Sacramento, we'll set them down.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's. I don't have anything. I don't have really anything big to say about them. I love Buddy. Buddy is one of my favorite players in the NBA. But you know, this is not his team. This team is gonna go as far as De'Aaron Fox can take them. The San Antonio Spurs have a win total of course, 47.5. What are we going to see from Dejounte Murray? Because this is a guy that the Spurs organization, they love him.
Love him. You never see the Spurs talk
dudes
up.
Yeah, they never talk about it.
And they talked up DeJounte last year, and now he's ready to go, man. I was so high on him last year before he tore his ACL. I was writing, like, deep dive pieces, like, every week. I just wrote about him every day, I felt like. But, yeah, I mean, he had two steals per game after the break two seasons ago. And even DeMar DeRozan said in press conference, like, is – DeJounte is so freaking fast, and they're going to really kind of make that their identity, much like Westbrook, you know, just getting out in transition and just long dude. Like, he's just going to step around dude so easily and just get so many little layups. And I think he's going to have a huge season, no restrictions right now. Now, obviously, he had a full calendar year with it being a preseason injury. So I would assume they'd probably start him. Obviously, they're going to start DeMar DeRozan. They're going to start LaMarcus Aldridge. And then you kind of got to figure it out. We know Pop will kind of mix and match. Lonnie Walker had a pretty good summer league. They do like Bryn Forbes. And Bryn Forbes almost makes more sense as a starter because he can really catch and shoot it. Derek White kind of lost his steam. He came into San Antonio as kind of a good catch and shoot guy, but didn't really come around last year in that department. So it does kind of make sense to bring him off the bench. Another guy who lost his shot at the rim after the break, so he needs to get better there after he was killing. Like, when he was red hot and dropping 20 points all the time, that's when he was making shots at the rim a lot. But, yeah, this team's solid. I don't feel very good about betting either one, but if I had to pick, I'd probably go under. I feel like people are
saying they're just there are too many ways that this team can fail.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge has somehow always stayed on the court. Like, he was always missing games in Portland, and now he's hitting like 75 games. Like, it's his job, you know. So
yeah, no, it is. It's wild. I would not expect a guy who gets older to stay healthy. Rudy Gay is a little bit older, and he's going to be a part of their rotation. There's just a lot of ways that this can there's just a lot of ways that this can go south, basically.
Yeah. I thought the DeMar Carroll pickup was a pretty good one. DeRozan had talked about how from their Toronto days, he's going to be a really good fit for their defense. So, yeah, it's almost like they're a more experienced Kings team. You know, they got a good young point guard, and they got all these solid pieces and a lot of ways to mix and match the rotation with, you know, kind of an unknown with Jakob Poeltl and versus Dwayne Dedman and all that. So, yeah, I feel like Vegas is just giving them because they're the Spurs. But I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see DeJounte just have a monster season. But, yeah, they're going to be the Spurs, you know. Like, DeRozan finally got rid of the three-pointers and went back to his ways. His assist went way up, by the way. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits. I think he can coexist with DeJounte Murray. They did in their time when DeJounte was kind of humming 2 years ago. So yeah, it seems again like 47. That's a good team right there. So I think it's more like 43, 44.
Yep. All right, man. Our last team. We are gunning through it. We now have the Utah Jazz, who have a win total of 54.5. My God. I would have guessed 49. 54.5 is so high for the Jazz. And I get that all these players are good, but wow.
Over.
I don't even disagree with you. Like, I don't even think that's bad, but it just seems crazy for the Jazz to have a total of 54.5.
Yeah. I think Donovan Mitchell is going to have a monster season. One of my favorite stats I looked up, last 33 games, he shot low 50s on catch and shoot threes, like 52 or 53%, whatever it was. So he's going to do more of that with Conley. Again, another guy who just was awesome at finishing around the basket. He was one of the best guys as far as growing as the season went on at making shots. And they've said all along that they are building this team around Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. As great as Conley is. And Conley is going to really help them defensively. This team is not going to be fun to target in DFS. I think that Jeff Green could fit in well on this team, you know, just kind of taking up space almost, really switchable in pick and rolls. Green has suddenly been decent as a shooter, so props to him for that growth. I think Royce O'Neal is definitely one of the most underappreciated kind of mid-rotation players. He's going to get minutes. He can play the three and the four. Boyan, you know, could really fill it up. Great shooter. Has really improved on defense. We've really seen him have 2 years ago with the Pacers, when he did a number on LeBron for a couple games. Like, he can defend really well. I love Joe Ingles. I think Joe Ingles is going to be really, really good in that second unit. Per 36 without Rubio and Mitchell on the floor last year, he had 9 assists per 36 without those guys on the floor. So he is going to really be dishing it out to these shooters. But Ed Davis is one of the best pickups as far as like per dollar or dollar per value goes. I just love this team, man. They're going to play a lot of guys and not a lot of load management here. And again, I just think Donovan Mitchell takes a big step forward. Is really an all-star player.
Yeah, I think all of that seems. Yeah, I can't disagree with any of it. You know, all of these guys are really good. The one issue I could see them having is power forward, but they probably play Bojan and O'Neal there sometimes. Yep. And I mean, do you think that there is upside in this Niang dude?
Nah. I was into him, like his first two or three games was in Orlando Summer League. He was like really impressive, but nah. But they've got like you said, they're going to play, they could play Ingles at the four, they could play Boyan at the four. Royce O'Neal has been really fine as a four man. So yeah, there's no concern there. I mean, Jeff Green, you know, get your 23, 24 minutes. But the lineup they're going to probably close with is Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, Boyan, and Gobert. And that's an awesome lineup. Gobert can really save the tails of a lot of smaller fours. This guy doesn't.
Oh, definitely. He'll
close
up
everything. So if he stays healthy, even if he doesn't, I think Ed Davis was such a huge pickup. Tony Bradley was a mega stud in Vegas or in the Salt Lake Summer League, kind of a combination. But yeah, this team is just so well put together. And you can just tell that GM Dennis Lindsay knows exactly what he's doing and adding these pieces. It's just. I just love it. Just clear plan. And I didn't really talk about Conley. Like, Conley's just such a solid guy. Conley was really underappreciated for how well he played down the stretch on a bad team. He still has a little bit left in the tank. Fantasy, I'm not drafting him just because he's older and he has a bit of an injury history, which I thought, and we all bury Emmanuel Mudiay. It's kind of what we do on NBA Twitter, but I thought it was a good pickup going with him over Howell Neto just because Mudiay does not miss games. He's been pretty durable. Meanwhile, Dante Exum is one of the most injury-prone players in the NBA.
Right,
Conley, like, he's always hurt, or not always, but he's hurt more than he should be. So I thought that was a good little emergency pickup. They said they may play him with the two a little bit here and there. So, and Mudiay was decent last year with the Knicks, a guy who I've always bashed. I'm quick to pull out the dead horse and beat Emmanuel Mudiay. But, I just think this team's going to be, just leading and winning a lot of games. You know, they're good at home and enough depth to really get through some injuries if they need to.
Okay, so that's it. That we have previewed every team in the league.
That was awesome, man. I love
it. That was great.
Yeah, I love hopping on pods and just firing out. I'm hoping to do more guest pods this year, by the way, anybody who's listening.
Yeah, anyone who's listening, hit my boy up, and let's make that happen. Okay, at the very end, who plays in the finals and who wins MVP?
So I'm going to be lame. I think Giannis is going to probably win MVP again just because I think the Bucks are going to be – again, I don't think he may not be my MVP. But like I said earlier, I just think that the voters are just so into the one seed. Like, it's like their number one piece of criteria for how they go through voting, you know? So I would pick them. And then, man, I don't know. I hate these questions, but I honestly think if the Clippers can make it through and get everybody healthy and maybe get a two or three seed somehow, it's going to be tough to pick against them. And I mean, we saw what Kawhi did. So if I knew they were healthy, I think the Clippers could take it down, and Kawhi would be a back-to-back title winner.
Yeah, that was gonna be my pick too. I think they have to be considered the prohibitive favorite, and I think the Bucks have to be considered obviously the favorite from the Eastern Conference. So that is going to do it. If people like this podcast, if they like learning about all of these players, where can they find more information, Mike?
Well, I'm on my Twitter account is number one. I probably will blow up your Twitter account more than probably most people. I retweet pretty much everything that has fantasy relevance, and I'll usually tweet out some cool stats. So I'm at Mike S. Gallagher, and I'm doing, I think, a couple columns this year on RotoWorld, and I'm one of the main blurb guys on RotoWorld for the NBA site.
Yeah, there we go. All right, everyone, thank you very much for listening, and you will, of course, hear Mike again on this podcast.